You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Well, it's Christmas Eve, and I know that you have a lot of things planned with family and friends, and I know that this is always an exciting time for children of all ages. I have planned for this evening a different message than what I'm giving here this morning. That's good, so you don't have to hear the same thing twice, but I just want to say that the Holy Spirit has been at work. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because up until, a few days ago, I had no idea what I was going to preach on tonight. The Lord blessed me with some inspiration, which I'll share with you this evening. This morning's message harkens back to Christmas that we remember as children. So I want you to join me in that journey backwards. If we had a time machine, we'd all step into it. And we'd go back and you'd get off the time machine at wherever Christmas memories reside for you. For me, when I was a child, Christmas was this amazing time that was marked by joy and festivities and secrecy. Secrecy. There's something special, you might even say magical, about the secrecy surrounding Christmas. Now, you might be thinking, oh, you're thinking just of the secular Christmas. But no, I'm actually not. As a child, we know the story of Jesus, and we know somewhere in there how this all comes together. But let's face it, when you're a child, the sparkling of the Christmas tree or the Christmas tree at home and the brightly wrapped packages and that expectation that there's something in the air, there's a secret that's about to be revealed. And sometimes for us as kids, those secrets came packaged up in brightly wrapped packages with bows. And hopefully as you perused around the base of the Christmas tree, you saw a name tag with your name on it. And the more name tags you saw with your name, the better off Christmas was going to be. Because that's how we thought as children. The presents would begin to appear under the tree one by one. Brightly wrapped packages would appear, and there inside that Christmas wrapping paper is this wonderful secret that's waiting to be revealed on Christmas morning. And the presents that accumulated under the tree really were just the tip of the iceberg, because in our family, in our tradition, Santa didn't show up until we were in bed asleep, right? Visions of sugar plums dancing in our head. I never understood what that meant. I've never eaten a sugar plum. I don't know that my doctor would allow me to have one now. But it's an interesting thought that there's this magical thing that happens overnight when we're a child and we get up Christmas morning and in my house, we got up extra early and we kind of crept around the corner and looked at the tree, and all of a sudden there were all of these things that weren't there the night before. The big stuff showed up, right? The bicycles, the riding toys, the train sets, all the stuff that was at the top of our Christmas list. Do you remember that? As a child, do you remember the anticipation of Christmas morning? It makes for good memories, doesn't it? It was always better, in my mind, it was always better than I could have hoped for or imagined. When I got up and there was the tree and whatever it was. For some people, I guess it was a Red Ryder BB gun, right? You'll put your eye out, right? that was the excitement of Christmas. Anticipation of a secret ready to be revealed. The secret better than we expected it would be, especially if it was something that we truly wanted or needed. Now, I think it's easy to see how that applies to the Christmas story, the real Christmas story that we're here to celebrate this morning and then again this evening. We begin to see the joy in giving can be just as amazing as the joy in receiving. The secrecy of Christmas takes on a special significance, as if we find the perfect gift for someone that we love and care about, and it's not so much about what we're getting, it's about what we're giving at Christmas. The joy on the expression on your children or grandchildren's face when they're opening up the gift that you put so much time and energy and thought into preparing for them, listening to all their months' worth I sure do like this, and I really would like to have this with me. Do you remember the Sears wish book? My goodness, how many dog-eared pages did I leave lying around for mom and dad when that thing came out? All that anticipation leads us to a point to where when we get to be adults and we're more mature in our outlook, even on the secular trappings of Christmas, we appreciate the anticipation of giving more than even the anticipation of getting. Now, for Christians, we know that the season's not all about the giving and receiving of gifts, but like I said, I think we can see the symbolism in the giving and the receiving, the anticipation and the excitement and the secrecy and the revelation and the joy that the revelation of the secret brings. It's this sense of joy in the revelation that Paul talks about in our epistle for this morning from Romans. It's Romans 16. You have a copy of it in your bulletin insert, beginning at verse 25. It's just 25, 26, and 27, three short verses where Paul talks about this secret. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. See, Paul's saying that all of this hubbub and celebration is about praising the one who is strong enough to make the rest of us strong. Exactly as he preached, exactly as he lived his life during his ministry on earth, precisely as revealed in the mystery kept secret over the ages, but now it's an open book that we can all read through the prophetic writings in Scripture that tells about this gift from God, Jesus Christ. All the nations of the world can now know the truth and be brought into obedient belief, carrying out the mandates and orders of God who got all of this started in the first place, down to the very last letter of the gospel. All our praise is focused through Jesus on this incredible, amazing, incomparably wise God who we worship. That's quite a revelation, isn't it? It may seem like it's about Santa Claus, but it really has nothing to do with Santa Claus. The secret that was kept by the Jewish scholars and the priests and the rabbis for centuries and centuries, the secret that was held for the Jews first, has now been revealed through the coming of the Christ child in the first Advent. And that secret has now been revealed to us and to the entire world. You know what secret I'm speaking of, right? It's Jesus. Maybe we better whisper it because it's a secret. It's Jesus. Go ahead. It's Jesus. The secret of the gift that was given and continues to give. The secret of the gift that's not wrapped in Christmas paper, but rather in swaddling clothes. The secret of Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's the real Christmas story. So that Christmas story was revealed not all at once to everybody in the world, was it? No. At first, who was the first person to receive the message about the coming Messiah? Mary, yeah. You better tell her first, right? The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That's quite an announcement, quite a revelation to Mary. Now, I would imagine that the next person that knew about it was Joseph. But maybe not. We see in Scripture that Elizabeth, who was 6 months with child with John the Baptist, listen to what it says about Elizabeth. "In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country," not Texas, "where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leapt with joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord.'" See, Elizabeth, with child with John the Baptist, at the sound of Mary's voice, the child within her leaps with joy, and Elizabeth, by divine revelation, understands that the child that Mary is carrying is the Messiah. Quite a revelation. Now, let's not leave Joseph out, because he's an important player in this. In Matthew, in the first chapter, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose Mary to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you, Joseph, are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, when the prophet said, 'Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,' which means 'God is with us.' When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus." See, the secret was revealed only to those who had a need to know in the specific moment, a moment planned out by God himself from the beginnings of time. From before the beginnings of time, God had a plan to reveal to humanity, even before he had created them, how this all would go. And even when it was time to reveal Jesus to the world, it began with a small group of people. Do you remember who they were? The shepherds. Why the shepherds? Listen to what Luke 2 tells us. Put on your Charlie Brown Christmas hats and hear this from Luke 2. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favored." So why the shepherds? Mary, understand that. Joseph, good for him to know. Elizabeth, also good, because John the Baptist is the one who is the herald for the coming Messiah. Remember, he baptizes Jesus. Why the shepherds? Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, and Jesus is uniquely both shepherd and lamb, right? The shepherds are the ones who raise the sheep, and the sheep are raised for all kinds of things that benefit people: wool, food. And the lambs, the ones who were perfect and unblemished, were raised to be sacrificed in the temple as an atonement for the sins of people. The shepherds would take these unblemished, perfect lambs and wrap them in cloth. And they would place them in a manger, a feeding trough. It was either made of stone or of wood, until it was time for them to be taken for sacrifice, protecting them to keep them unblemished and as perfect as possible. So if anyone would understand the significance of the sign of a baby wrapped in cloth and placed in a manger, then it would be these shepherds. Remember, the gospel says, "This will be a sign for you, shepherds. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And if you're a shepherd going, "Oh, that's what we do to the unblemished lambs for sacrifice." So the very next group of people are the wise men. It's the signal for the Epiphany. The Epiphany is simply the revelation of Christ to the rest of the world. So after you have all of these groups, then everyone else is brought in to the announcement that Jesus Christ is born. And we, the church, are the wise men. We're the magi. We're the keepers and the revealers of the salvation secret. We're the heralds who proclaim the gospel, the ones who proclaim the mystery and the secret of Christmas. That's us, the church. That's our job, to be the secret keepers, but not in the sense that we keep it and hide it from everyone, but the ones who keep the secret protected so that the truth can be proclaimed to the world, right? Does no good to proclaim things that aren't true. You have to proclaim truth in order for it to be effective for the kingdom of God. And so we're the ones, church, called to share the real Christmas story. Not the Red Ryder BB gun Christmas story, but the one that's in John 1. Remember that one? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So if you skip down a few verses, it says very plainly, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is who we're celebrating on Christmas Eve. You see, before Jesus, the hope of the coming Messiah was only for the Jews. They were expecting him. They were watching for him. They were longing for him. But through time and disconnection from God, their ability to see the gift of the Messiah right in front of them became clouded. And so God, through Jesus and then the Holy Spirit, expanded the gift to include all of humanity, all of humankind. And all humanity had to do was accept the gift that had been so mercifully and gracefully given. God the Father expresses joy in his creation through the gift of Jesus Christ, his Son. And our response to that gracious gift should be the joy of receiving it as truth and the grace that it is. The gift that was given, the Messiah that came, was far better than the one in the imaginations of the people who were waiting for him. That's why they couldn't see him right in front of them. The gift was better than they expected. Their expectations were too low. Their expectations were far lower than the bar that God had set. Jesus came to redeem all of us. Who could imagine such a great gift? A gift poured out on us so lavishly that we still can't comprehend it fully. And yet here it is. We're here. It's Christmas Eve. The secret is out. Jesus has come, and what's more, Jesus is coming again. What will that be like? You can imagine and hope all day long, and you still won't quite be able to fathom the magnificence of that second advent. And so the message is, don't miss the joy of the real gift as it gets clouded with all the other stuff associated with this season. Let all of the expectation and anticipation lead you to receiving all that God has graciously given to you. Scripture says, for a child has been born for us, a son given to us, and authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. What a great gift. There's nothing under any tree, anywhere, better than the gift of a Savior. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.